Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
Yeah, relax. Relax. Man, all the doomsayers. Everybody was quick to bury Aaron Rodgers. I got a text from somebody yesterday said, boy, I'm glad they didn't make that Aaron Rodgers deal. I'd much rather have Teddy.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
really?
Hey, man, Teddy's been great. Don't get me wrong.
Exactly.
Ain't no Aaron Rodgers. Just took a minute, man. Just took a minute. He's all right.
The whole slick back hair man bun thing, though, you might need to talk to your buddy. He's now doing the State Farm commercials wearing the bun. He's got the... He's got the... You know, he's doing the post-game show wearing, you know, he's doing during the week he's got the bun.
Mm-hmm.
You done messed up, A-Rod!
He's got the hair slicked back. I'm telling you, man. I mean, go back and YouTube any Steven Seagal movie from the 80s, and that's the look Rodgers is going for. The only thing missing when he scrambles now is the flapping right arm.
Yeah, that's not, yeah, he doesn't have that. But that's not, it's not a great look. I get it. But... I mean, you can look any way you want as long as you're dealing, right?
That throw to Tanyan right there.
And throw to Tanyan. What if Peyton Manning said, "That's you don't have any choice but to catch it. It caught you. The ball caught you." I mean, that was, you want to talk about throwing a dime piece. That is a dime piece. Anyhow, great stuff. Good to see Aaron Rodgers back. Good to see him playing well. It'll be great seeing him in orange and blue. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what you're getting at?
I'm not...
Don't give up hope.
I'm not giving up the dream.
And to me,
he still represents the dream until I see more from Teddy. Right now, as we're speaking right now.
Today. Yes.
September 21st. Chilly this morning.
45?
37 for me when I left this morning. Yeah. Right along the foothills. 37.
37. It's a fine how do you do?
Yeah.
Right?
Wore a jacket in today.
You did?
First morning with the jacket.
Ooh, not happy about that choice.
I like it. I'm ready for fall. I am ready.
I am ready for fall, too. I like the cooler weather.
But as we sit here right now, I'm glad they did not make the trade for Aaron Rodgers. I'm glad that the Packers got cold feet. I'm glad that they... did not have to give up the King's ransom to get Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would much rather have those pieces here to play with to support what you're getting with Teddy right now. As of now, subject to change.
I like it. Yeah, great to see him back. Great to see him playing well. 4 TDs, no picks. Complete and total efficiency. And that's Aaron Rodgers. Although I will say this, let's just say that
while what Teddy is doing is great, I tuned in with great interest last night.
Yeah, Packers need to be a better football team though. The pass rush isn't great. The secondary coverage was not like they. Detroit, is that Detroit hanging in there or Green Bay letting Detroit hang in there?
Think what you saw was probably there was I think I wasn't at Lambeau, but I would think that if you were at Lambeau yesterday, there was a little bit of unease,
mm-hmm.
a little tension.
Sure,
after everything that went on during the summer with Aaron,
mm-hmm.
he's back, first home game, and how they played last week. So yeah, I think that probably explained maybe what you saw in the first half, but then everything righted itself in the second half, and the Lions went back to being the Lions.
And Packer fans just totally forgave Aaron, right? In the second half, they're like, it's
all
okay.
Good.
It's okay, buddy. We understand. Midlife crisis. You got the man bun. Listen, pretty hair.
We hope you understand the lesson we taught you.
Right. Exactly.
And now we move on.
Now we move on.
But don't do that again.
Right. Take him under. Yeah. Kind of give him a big old kind of side hug, you know? It's okay, son.
He said after the game, Rodgers did. Let me see. It was one specific word he used. Yeah, people like to say a lot of BS. He said it. And it's nice to come back in here after a game like that. You have the audio? Let's hear it.
I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
He talked about the trolls.
People are, you know what's funny about this? Say it about Brady all the time. People are so quick to write your obituary. They cannot wait to write the obit. I mean, they're crafting it. You have one bad game. They sit down Sunday night, Monday morning. Okay, here we go. You know, put their tongue on the tip of their pen. Roger's dead.
It's the beauty of the NFL. It's the curse of the NFL, especially in the first quarter of the season of the NFL. The massive overreaction swings week to week, positively and negatively.
Do you remember, this has got to be 7, 8 years, maybe 9 years ago, when Kansas City opened up the season, or was it the second game of the season, in New England, and just whipped Tom Brady and the Patriots?
Yes.
And it was like, Tom is done. He's so old. Look at that. It was like, that's like 8 seasons.
Oh, was it least, oh yeah. It was like 8. Yes, it was. And it was like 8 years ago.
Yeah. And they did go back and win the Super Bowl that year, by the way.
Yes. Yes. So,
yeah.
All right. So just kind of curious, those of you who watched the game last night, how are you watching Aaron Rodgers and thinking about Aaron Rodgers? Let us know. RamosLaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. As always, the Tuesday after a Sunday Bronco game is kind of a leftover day. Things that sort of slip through the cracks that maybe now that you've had a chance to go back and look and reflect and listen and maybe watch the game again, things that jumped out at you that you'd love to point out that did not get pointed out in the immediate aftermath of the game. So Broncos-Jags leftovers, let us in on those, share those with us. Also coming up, how big a loss is Josie Jewell, and how big of an Achilles heel is the linebacker position now for this Broncos defense that is looking really salty? That's coming up next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, we're encouraging you to give us our Broncos-Jags leftovers, stuff that maybe slipped through the cracks in the immediate post-game analysis.
You know, it'd be kind of fun to do, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Just you and me, because, you know, just the two of us talking here.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're very detailed. You're far more detailed than I am when it comes to, you know, watching the Broncos game here. You chart every single play.
Yep.
And you know, you put down kind of your thought process on those plays. Oftentimes, it's just wrong, but you know, even if it's wrong, it's a good thought.
Yes, right. Right. I try. I have it all in my handy dandy notebook.
We need our handy dandy notebook.
Yes, you have your own handy dandy notebook. It looks a little bit, I mean, it's disheveled, kind of like, you know, it matches your appearance.
It's got some mustard stains on it, perhaps.
Right, yeah, it's got a few mustard stains, you know, like, what kind of mustard? Is that French's? Wait a minute. That's the what do they have when you have the stone?
Like stone ground?
Yeah, stone ground or whatever.
Love the stone ground.
Yeah. But it might be kind of cool when you have a couple of plays, like just weekly. It'll be a cool Tuesday thing. all right, Stink, you've got the film, you've got the coach's film, because I usually get it, it usually pops up into my computer, into my Exos Thundercloud on Monday at some point, Monday evenings, to go back and look at four or five specific plays. Tell me why it worked or tell me why it didn't work.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you say, hey, man, this is a play that was like a big time. This was a big time play.
Tell me why it happened or why it didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, for example, the touchdown drive that they went up 17-7 and really took control of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The third and six that they faced from their own 26 and the play of Javonte Williams.
Right.
Picking up a free blocker, a free rusher coming in on Bridgewater, and the way that he stepped up, read the play,
right,
took on the blocker, and allowed Teddy Bridgewater a clean pocket to complete a 16-yard pass to Cortland Sutton. Drive continued. Touchdown at the end of it.
Third and six from the 26th?
Yes, I believe. Yes.
What, and was that like, that has got to be third quarter-ish?
No, it was late second quarter.
Late second quarter.
Right? No, that was third quarter. That was, well, yes, that was early on. That was one of the first drives of the third quarter that went up 17-7. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, take a look at that one. I'll come up with some more for you.
Yeah, well, I'll look at that during the break.
And okay.
It'd be kind of fun because now all of a sudden I can show you on the coach's film what exactly
happened. I like that.
It'll be our little game, you and me.
I like little games.
Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors. We'll find out how competitive we are.
Yeah. Can't believe I got my butt whipped.
Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are.
Hey, if you bring that up in your introductory press conference to the Philadelphia media, it must mean you're pretty confident in your rock, paper, scissors talents and abilities.
Yeah, I think you totally got in my head.
Easily. Here's one.
What do you mean easily?
The real irony that no one is talking about, the play where Josie Jewell was injured was Denver's best special teams play of the year by far.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
As soon as I saw him, I mean, I blew that up, and when he got up, you knew he was hurt. Unfortunate, because Josie Jewell, it's kind of an interesting dilemma, if you will. I mean, dilemma is not the right word. He's a really good player. He's one of those really good players, like you want him on your team, but a really good player that you wish you had somebody that had a little bit more athleticism. You know what?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. If I could take Josie Jewell's football player mentality and attitude.
And neck up intelligence.
Right. And match him with the skill set of a Baron Browning or somebody.
Right.
That they, you know, drafted. Or some of the other young linebackers that they've had here that just haven't worked out. Man, you'd have yourself an all-pro.
He definitely hurts him, though, because he's a good special teams player, smart player. That injury is going to hurt. But it gives, you know, again, Cernat is, it gives you an opportunity to come in and do what they drafted you to do, to be an athlete, to do those things. You know, I mean, and here's my deal. And I go back to you, and I have to give you credit. You know, I give you a lot of grief, but I have to give you a lot of credit on this. The bottom line is I understand that we all want to defend the run. It's important to defend the run. It's important to be one-dimensional. It's important to be, you know, it's more important, especially in this division with the way that Carr is playing, with the way that Herbert can play, the way Mahomes can play. It's better to have somebody in the middle of the football field that can lock up a tight end in man coverage. You don't play it all the time, but when you do play it, and even in zone, you know, it always becomes, I was talking to Logan Ryan about this. You just zone versus man and kind of the intelligence.
Logan Ryan or Ryan Logan?
Logan Ryan.
Okay. Two first names. I know how that bugs you.
It does bug me, but I like him. So Logan Ryan, I was talking to him about it. And he goes, yeah, you know, I mean, you got to understand zone principles, you know, and you know, leverages and where to play and where to be and how much depth you need to get and how to trigger and all that stuff. He goes, but the bottom line is this. All zone coverages eventually become man. Eventually, you got to jump on somebody, you know, depending on the route combination and all that stuff. So you got to jump on somebody and pick them up, man. And he's right. And so just from the inside, man, if you have somebody that can run, that can change direction, that has that kind of quickness, and they can take, even if you could only take it away for that small window of time when the quarterback is getting to that, and then he has to get off of it, I'm telling you, man, what a difference that makes. And so whatever you give up in the run game, what you hope is, we make up for it in the passing game. and it makes us a better, it just makes us a better team overall. And it may take a couple of weeks, you know, it may take 6-8 weeks, but it makes us a better team coming down the stretch run.
Here's one from Peter in Minnesota. Aqib Talib was a commentator for the Minnesota versus Arizona game. And I can just say that a Bronco game where Mark and Aqib are the commentators would just be fan-freaking-tastic. It would have to be done, I agree with you, Peter. It would have to be done Peyton Eli style. It couldn't be your traditional broadcast. Because neither one of you could run a broadcast. It'd be a train wreck. But the two of you just chopping it up during a broadcast.
No, but if you actually had, you know,
you'd have to play by play,
a three-man booth.
If you had a three-man booth with somebody that could just sort of feed.
I did it with Rondé Barber a year ago, or 2 years ago. Me, Rondé Barber, and Dick Stockton in the booth in Seattle. It was tremendous. We had a good time.
Yeah, I think the two of you would be fantastic together.
Oh, yeah, because, you got Aqib, and Aqib is just awesome. Aqib is great, right? And then you got me just being me, right?
Right.
I mean, you want to talk about it. It'd be like Ebony and Ivory, right?
Right.
Like that song.
Exactly.
When Joe Piscopo used to do it with Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it'd be tremendous.
Benny, you got to find that. Put you to work on that during the break.
I remember, he is black and I am white. He is blind as a bat and I have sight. Remember
this? Well, no, wait a minute. He was playing, he was doing Sinatra, wasn't he?
He was doing Sinatra.
He was doing Sinatra.
And Eddie Murphy was doing, who was it?
Stevie Wonder?
Yeah, I think he was doing Stevie Wonder, right?
Yeah.
It was tremendous.
Here's one. You guys got to give it up when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. It's Teddy time. Until something real happens with Rodgers, let's enjoy Teddy. At least it's not Paxton. Could be worse. Such wisdom.
Yeah.
From our 6 a.m. listeners, the best of the bunch here on the fan. Day number 2297.
Yes.
As we close in on
3,000.
There you go.
What do we got? Three more days?
Yeah, just three more. End of the week. We'll hit it. Yeah. 3,000. And before you text in, suspend everything you know about math, okay? And
this
numbers,
is
reality. You have to suspend reality when it comes to the Paxton Lynch Mayor campaign.
This is like going to a different country. There's an exchange rate.
Right.
That's what, there's an exchange rate.
Exactly.
I remember going to Jamaica once and gave him like I went and got like $500 or $300 worth of cash, right? I was like, all right, I'm going to just exchange this to $300 just so I have some tipping money,
sure,
right?
Sure.
I got like a stack of high society back. I had like $8,000 in my pocket. I was like, man, I feel like a big timer. Just a wad of cash.
Just a wad.
I was like,
hey, here you go.
Lloyd Christmas on Dumb and Dumber. Thank you. And just keep an IOUs, you know? Thank you.
Meanwhile, there's just a crowd following Mark Schlereth.
Here you go. Just handing out money.
Morning Brew coming up next, and is it time to change the definition of exactly what medically cleared means in the NFL? That's coming up next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crap thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Yeah, his ankle acted up again. You know, he tried to go with it. You know, he had medical clearance. He wanted to do it. And, you know, it acted up again.
Mark, is it time to change the definition of being medically cleared to play in an NFL game by the player and by the team? Because I'm sure Bradley Chubb was medically cleared to go, but if medically cleared is a player at 70-75%, is that a number, a threshold, a definition that needs to be changed in a time where teams are going above and beyond to try to protect their players, especially during the offseason, especially during the preseason.
Mike, there's a part of this game that I hope never changes. And that part is toughness. You have to have a requisite level of toughness to play this game, both physically and mentally. And I get where you're coming from. I completely understand it. At the same time, you know, I always love it when the doctors say, well, you can't do any further damage to it. You know why? Because it's already screwed up. So, hey, good luck to you. And it comes down to who can handle it and who can't. It's a razor thin edge that you stand on. Guys want to play. And like I said yesterday, man, I appreciate the fact that Bradley Chubb knows he's not 100%, but he still wants to be out there with his teammates. And I'll err on that side. Probably, you know, hindsight being 2020, you probably shouldn't have played, but I totally understand it. I'm not going to sit there and say, you know, Vic Fangio's a bad coach for letting him play. I'm not going to say that because, you know, I've played my whole life that way. And I think there's something to that sacrifice that you make that makes you a better football team because other guys see it. So I think there's an ancillary benefit to it, even though we can't necessarily see it on the surface. Sometimes you got to scratch a little deeper than the surface.
Next on the Morning Brew.
It's crappy losing your guys. You know, Chubb losing Jewel, but I believe in the guys behind them. Obviously, it's not something you guys are going to believe right away, but just wait till Sunday and they go out there and make plays, you know, and just let their play do the talking. Ooh, I like that.
Shelby Harris, you have been harping for the last couple of years about how thin this roster is and how this roster has improved its overall depth. Are you now at a point when you look at these injuries on the defensive side, even some on the offensive side, and feel, hey, this roster depth is getting to where it needs to be because they have the guys that can step in and not miss too much of a beat after injuries?
Yeah, and we're going to find out. I mean, we're going to find out. But, you know, ultimately, Mike, these are the things. This is why you have to build the roster. This is why you can't rest. This is why you roll in at 4 a.m. This is why you're constantly working to back into that roster. Like we saw this, you know, as soon as camp was over, we saw George Payton go to work. We saw them bring in Mike Ford, bounce somebody else out. I mean, we saw them make a bunch of changes. The running back position, we've seen this. And this is why, and we're fixing to find out how these guys can play.
Wanted to ask you, how did you think Netane Muti filled in for Graham Glasgow at right guard?
I thought he filled in good. I mean, I thought it was great. I don't think they played great up front, but I don't think they played poorly up front. I'd like to see a little bit better, more consistent in the running game. Because a lot of what happened in the running game was really Javonte Williams breaking the initial tackles. I think he led the NCAA last year with like 75 broken tackles. And, you know, I don't know who keeps those official stats, but I think that I'd like to see them actually have some cleaner looks to get to the second level. And, because if you're breaking a second level tackle, now you have the chance to go house call.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, you knew he was going to bounce back, right?
You knew it was going to be a big game.
You didn't have any worries about him,
nope.
Did you? You weren't looking at the Steven Seagal look with the slick back hair and the man bun. You weren't concerned that maybe this guy had gone around the bend a little bit?
I was not concerned about how he would respond to probably the worst game he's ever played. Am I concerned about the man bun and the granola diet? Yeah, of course I am.
Think this is just a phase?
Yeah, just a silly phase he's going through.
He'll grow out of it like any other child.
Right. Midlife crisis.
Just trying to impress the new girl, right?
Right. Maybe have.
We've all been there before, right? Where we've done some things we look back on to, in the efforts to impress a woman.
Yeah.
And be like, not my finest moment.
Exactly. This is how I can tell that you are a complete and total peace in your relationship.
A total peace?
You are in complete and total peace.
Oh, peace,
with your
yeah.
marriage and relationship.
Yeah. How's that?
Because you've really let yourself go.
I really don't give a damn. Next on The Morning Brew. Oh!
Oh! Oh! My ankles are broken! Oh! My ankles are broken! For sure!
His ankles are broken!
He has broken his ankles!
Oh, they're surely broken!
That is on-field audio of Carson Wentz.
What is that? Benny, what's that from?
From a show called It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious.
Well, that didn't take long to have quarterbacks going down all over the place. Carson Wentz sprains to both his ankles. Tyrod Taylor out with a hamstring. Tua out after taking a vicious hit. Ginger, Andy Dalton, out. How do you sprain both ankles? Seriously. When I saw that, I went, what? I mean, I get it. Sprain an ankle. We've all sprained ankles. Who has ever sprained both ankles in the same athletic or physical exercise?
There's only one guy I know that could sprain both ankles. One is an actual sprain. Well, it's... He thinks it's an actual sprain. The other is a sympathy sprain. That would be Paxton.
You know who I'm really rooting for to sprain both his ankles?
Who?
Ben Roethlisberger. Then he'd have two clown shoes
on.
Oh,
my gosh. Could you imagine?
He'd be out there full crusty.
Right. I'm going to play some quarterback today.
Benny, tell me you got that. All right, that'll do it for The Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Mike Clist, if he's listening right now, is going, what am I getting into? We'll button things up here for Mike Clist joining us. Coming up next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. Mike Clist is our 9 News Broncos insider, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Joins us for his weekly chat. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great, guys.
So how do they determine whether Peyton Manning or John Elway gets this ownership? I mean, do they have to arm wrestle for it? What happens, Michael?
I think whoever comes up with the highest bid, you know, it's the American way, right? That's the other thing what these guys are trying to do in putting, you know, ownership and investors together is they got to stay flexible. It's going to be something where this is very preliminary, by the way. I guess they have to be for sale first, but which they're not. But if it does get to that point, there may be 6-7 groups bidding on this thing. And you don't want, if you're Peyton Manning, you don't want to tie yourself to just one group and that be the losing group, you know, that you want to stay flexible to go with the winner. That's true for John Elway, too. So who knows how this all shakes out, but it is interesting, isn't it, that both Peyton and Elway are interested in putting some investors together.
Mike, do you get the sense that one or both would want to be more than just owners, that they would want to be in charge of all things football, even John?
I think Peyton, definitely, that's the next step for Peyton. You know, Peyton is one of those guys, he gets involved with everything. John has just run the team for 10 years. He stepped back this year. He's still overseeing things. I think maybe he would like to stay in a similar role that he's in now where he's involved, but also have one step into retirement. And, you know, I think it would be a little more of a financial component for John than it would be, and it would be for Peyton too. But, yeah, I think Peyton's next step would be ownership, slash, you know, management type of role with football, where John might have, it might be a little more financial component.
Well, speaking of roles, are we seeing a shift in the role of the running back? It just feels to me that eventually Javonte Williams is going to get more of the lion's share of the repetitions back there. Great in blitz pickup in week two, a run hard, breaking tackles. I mean, he's turning 2 yard block, you know, a play that's blocked well enough to get 2 yards, he's turning into 5 and 6 yards. It just feels inevitable that he's going to usurp Melvin Gordon. It's not going to continue to be an even kind of Stephen Carey situation. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I have not heard that. I know that's what people want, and a lot of people, maybe by mid-season or the second half of the season, that may be the case, but Melvin is still a guy they rely on and have confidence in. And, you know, it's only been 2 weeks. Melvin broke the big one and had the better of week one, and Javonte was the hot back in week two. You hit it with your first comment on Javonte. He, you know, pass protection is what's going to get Javonte a little bit more action, you know, if he keeps that up. Rookies generally aren't good in pass protection, not because they can't do it or are not willing to do it. It's because they don't know how or know where the blitz is coming from. You know, you can trick a rookie on the pressures more than you can someone like Melvin Gordon. So Javonte's shown he's good at that right from the get go through training camp and the preseason. You know, I'm kind of in favor of the split. It's a 17 game season, and you know, I do think Javonte's a tackle breaker. I do think Melvin has a little better chance of breaking the big one, and they're both good in the passing game. Melvin right now to me looks a little better as a receiver. I kind of like the way they're going right now. But, you know, guys, the running backs these days, you watch the NFL, you know, it's almost turned into an arena. You know, watching that Sunday night game was almost an arena-like football game. You know, the running game just kind of gets in the way. You use those guys to keep the receivers fresh, you know, to give them a blow on from running routes. It's about the passing game, and that's where the Broncos have done well.
I guess unless you have a Derrick Henry, you know, and then you watch what Tennessee was able to do. But he's definitely the exception. Visiting with Mike Klisar, 9 News Bronco Insider. How do you anticipate them moving forward with Bradley Chubb this week?
Hopefully, and from what I hear, I mean, I don't think he'll practice this week. What you need to do with Bradley Chubb is sit him out this week. You're playing the Jets and see if that ankle comes along, you know, for when Lamar Jackson comes to town the following week. Lamar Jackson is a special athlete, a special quarterback, and I would think the Broncos would need and want Bradley Chubb for that game. He should come nowhere near the field against the Jets.
All right, Michael, man, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. Always great catching up.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco Insider, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. We're taking your leftovers from the Jaguars game. Hit us up with those on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Also coming up, we'll tell you why Mark is a big deal down under.
Yes.
And
throw another shrimp on the bobby.
And also, why Javonte Williams is pushing Melvin Gordon. And it goes beyond those broken tackles. Let's just say that, and Mark will explain in vivid detail. Coming up next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.